Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
July 25th, 1969, a.m., Hunt's Landing, Alabama. Acrid sulfur from the fireworks faded with the nighttime breeze. Dr. Theodore Wexler held up his glass red flashes from the police cars on the quad, pulse chestnut in the bourbon. Pulse, pulse. The cadence matched his heartbeat. Steadier now, settled after this disrupted day of jubilee. This is G.P. Gottlieb, host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. Today, I'm talking to S.K. Waters about her page-turning mystery, The Dead Won't Tell. Protagonist Abby Adams is a historian-turned-journalist and widowed mother of two teens who is given a fascinating assignment by her newspaper to research and write an article about a long-unsolved murder that took place in July of 1969 when the entire country was celebrating the moon landing. A young engineering student was violently murdered while students drank themselves silly as they celebrated into the night. Although some won't give Abby any information at all about what happened that night, others are happy to send her in the right direction. Nobody realizes that the murderer still is alive and will do everything needed to keep the case unsolved, including murder whoever gets in the way, especially Abby. Hi, Kiana. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So how did you decide to write a mystery, and how much fun was it to write?
Oh, golly. There was never any question that if I was going to write anything, it was going to be anything but a mystery. I read 200 Nancy Drews when I was a little kid, and then I moved up to Agatha Christie. It just, it was going to be, there was going to be a dead body in a library or something. It just, that's, I couldn't imagine writing anything else.
I hear ya. So your story is based in Hunt's Landing. Where is that exactly?
Hunt's Landing is a fictional town on the Tennessee River in North Alabama. I lived in North Alabama for 20 years. I'm from New Jersey, but I lived there for a long time. And it's a combination of three real towns: Athens, Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama, and Decatur, Alabama, all of which have really rich histories in them. And so I took all three towns and just made up my fictional town.
The story takes place in Hunt's Landing, Alabama, but the Marshall Flight Center is actually in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yes.
Where the scientists built the rocket systems that carried the Apollo crew. Can you say more about what happened just as a basis for the story?
Yeah. I just always found it fascinating. Having moved to Alabama from the Northeast, I think I had a bit of a snobbish attitude towards Alabama. I mean, what kind of tech can happen in Alabama? But yeah, Huntsville, Alabama, where the they brought the German rocket scientists from World War II that the U.S. got. They brought them to Huntsville, and they built the rocket systems that got the U.S. men on the moon. And that just always blew my mind. And so I really wanted to make sure that my fictional story was going to celebrate and recognize that event.
Right, Werner von Braun. We all remember that. Mm-hmm. So before that happens, let's back up a little. How did you learn about what happens in the rarefied world of academia when an academic advisor doesn't want to pass a dissertation, which is what happens to Abby?
Yeah. Yes, yes. I I was in graduate school in history, doing my master's in history when baby number one came along and kind of threw that off track. So I was in that world for quite a while, and it's a very, from my experience, I can't speak for everyone, but from my experience, it's a very nail biting type of environment. Undergrad is very different from graduate school. I found, and it was my personal experience was that it was a little bit nasty.
Yes, I'm aware of it. So Abby, whose dissertation is denied, doesn't pass, becomes a journalist instead, and now she's asked to write the inaugural article in a series about the town of Hunt's Landing, about an unsolved murder from 1969. What kind of journalist would enjoy that kind of assignment?
I'm not sure anyone. You're either going to love it or you're going to be like, oh gosh, why did they ask me to do this? And I was kind of waffling, I think, in early drafts of what kind of journalist she would be. In very early drafts, she was fighting for every penny. I mean, she was a widow, no benefits, trying to raise two kids who wanted like the greatest sneakers in the world in all. And she had no extra money. So she was doing it for money. But over time, over drafts, Abby, the character, was doing it for justice. She wanted justice for Rosalie. She couldn't stand that this murder had been ignored, had gone unsolved, and she wanted Rosalie to get her due. So the character changed over time.
So Abby also has a college friend visiting from LA, a TV personality who's searching for an interesting story. That was a wonderful angle. He seemed way nicer and friendlier than I assume someone like him would be, like the whole LA thing, the whole TV personality. Can you say more about him?
Yeah. He's actually modeled after one of my friends in college. And I won't say too much more because it's not fair, but yeah, I had a friend in college exactly like him. And so all his stupid stuff, all of his naming recipes after himself, falling into cellars and, you know, breaking bones and stuff, and like trying to not get into fights and stuff like that. Yeah, that's a real person.
Whoa, does that friend know that you wrote a character based on, or did you change the Zach completely so that there's no way he'd ever recognize himself?
If he read the book, and I literally haven't spoken to him since college, So we're talking the 80s. But if he read the book, he would know it was him. Absolutely. Yeah. I cookie cutter this dude, but he was so much fun and he was so corny that, I couldn't help myself actually.
But wow, I'll send now it makes me copy. Want to, like, yes, yes. Ooh, let me know. I want to know what happens. that'd be hysterical. So Abby grew up in the same town, and several interviewees have known her since she was a child.
Yes.
As a city person from the north, I wonder how small a town would have to be for a journalist to operate knowing so many people.
Well, again, I made the town up, and it was a combination of three different towns. So, I do understand that I'm looking at it from a northerner's perspective, and they would. I lived in those in that area for 20 something years. And nobody would ever say I was a Southern girl. So I know I had that slant. But I found that the friends that I made in those towns were some of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. And I tried to giving Abby her supporting cast, because she'd lost her parents, lost her husband, so she was really alone. But I wanted to give her a supporting cast that was like her extended family, and it was just so easy to draw on the people that. I lived amongst and use them because the heart is there, and I tried to bring that into the book to show that, you know, people do show up for each other and support each other.
I loved that part. I thought you did a great job of that.
Thank you.
Can you say a bit about Rosalie Dufresne?
Oh, golly. Yeah. Yeah. I went to the big library in Huntsville and pulled microfiche, actually. And I think I used that in the book a bit, where I had the Abby and the researcher going through microfiche, but I pulled microfiche issues of the newspaper for the week before and the week after the moon landing. And there was the story of, I off the top of my head, and I really have a bad memory, so that's why I have to write everything down. There was a murder in Huntsville that week, and just reading the newspaper articles about the investigation and all, that's how I pulled Rosalie together. I had a couple of readers early drafts and telling me, like, oh gosh, this would not have happened. You didn't write this right. And because they lived in the South in the late 60s. I didn't. I wasn't born. But they were like, no, you got to change this. You got to change this to make it more authentic. So I did have a little bit of help with that. But Rosalie was... based on a real murder that had happened in Huntsville in July of 69.
Wow. From reading this, I thought for sure you were from a small town. For sure you knew all of this stuff, that you were a journalist. I bought it all. Abby learns a lot from her. Abby learns a lot from her first interview. Why had she never done an interview before? A live interview. She had never interviewed anybody in person before.
That was a really fascinating aspect for me because, as like I said, I would with baby before baby number one, I was a graduate student in history, and you didn't talk to people. To write a paper or to do a project, you were in the library. You were looking through dusty books. You were looking through microfiche. You didn't talk to people. So when I conceived of Abby, she hadn't done live. She'd never talked to anybody live. I wanted to get her newness at the process. So she stumbles when she's her first interview was with Jethro. She stumbles because she doesn't know what to ask because it's not on paper. It's talking to a real live human being. And she grows and gets better at it. I think her natural character is good at it, but she doesn't trust herself at first, and that was important for me to bring out in her character.
She really wouldn't have been able to do any of this if not for Jethro. He sets her. Yeah, on the right path. Can you say more about him?
Yeah, Jethro. Jethro is again based on a person I know, and she has her supporting cast is a replacement family. So he's like her replacement dad, and. And he cares about her and he watches over her. Actually, it didn't make it into the final cut, but there are scenes where he was actually following her to make sure that she wasn't getting in trouble and to make sure that she was protected. So he's very much that replacement father figure. And and I'll share this. Yeah, he is based a lot on my own daddy.
Oh, and he's the father figure. Wow, that's good to know. I love finding this stuff out after I read the book. Okay, so it would have been fun to know even before, actually. So you've got two stories going. Abby, yes, and her college friend Joss. Sorry, I called him the wrong name, but Joss.
Yes,
and
Joss.
They both studied history. One's mm-hmm. uncovering a scoop to be used in a television history show. Uh-huh. And the other, Abby, is writing an article about a historical cold homicide case. So the one thing they have in common, they're both on Deadline. Can we talk about that?
Oh, yeah. It kind of got muffled down a bit. But yeah, they were on a clock in earlier drafts, and they were both trying to get their work done and get things submitted on time and two different stories that wound up actually merging. But the whole time I was writing this, I had them at my dining room table, and this, I think, wound up in the final, but both at the dining room table, both pecking away at their keyboards across from each other, just like they used to do when they were in college. And again, Joss is based on one of my college friends, and that's what we used to do. We would, just be across the table and earbuds in and just working together until like 6 o'clock in the morning. Because right. We're always at a deadline.
So we spent a lot of time in Abby's kitchen and dining room, as you said.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if your kitchen, if that kitchen and dining room is also like yours, is yours also like a command central?
It was. It was. I had to do an emergency downsize last year. I had a water leak. And of course, I had done hardwood floors across my entire ground floor, and the water leak went under and just warped the floor. So I had to leave. I had to leave my house, and it was an emergency downsize. Like I literally had it was a Tuesday, and they called me and told me, "Oh, we're coming to tear up your floors on Friday." It was literally like that fast. And wow. I couldn't stay in the house. So I had to literally find a place and move in 3 days. And we were literally throwing things. I had a couple friends help me. We were throwing things into boxes and handing them to movers. It was that quick. So is it my dining room now? No. Is it, was it what my dining room used to be? Yes.
So my last question is what you're working on next. And I also want to know, is there going to be a scene where a body is discovered under a warped floor?
Oh, you just gave me a great idea. I'm working on the sequel. And I have the body. It's on the square. The Hunt's Landing Square is a prominent fixture in the first book. It's going to be even more so prominent in the second book. And I have a body there already, but I needed a place to find the second body. And you just gave me the idea. So thank you.
Oh, I love being helpful. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kiana. It's been a pleasure, and I wish you the best of luck
on your next book. Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
And thanks for joining me. Again, this is G.P. Gottlieb, author of the Whipped and Sipped Mystery Series and host for New Books and Literature podcast channel on the New Books Network. Today I've been talking to author S.K. Waters about her fabulous mystery, The Dead Won't Tell. Hope you all have a juicy book to cuddle up with tonight, every night. Happy reading!